To be alive today means we each have a history. We individually have a cultural history, a family history, a personal history, and a spiritual history. Our histories form our identities. When you think about it, people whose histories have included a lot of hurt, they often hurt other people. And people whose histories have included a lot of kindness tend to increase kindness and extend it in the world. Today's sermon starts with our history. It's about all of us as one, our Christian congregation, one Methodist church, one family, and included in that unity is the history of each one of us. The sermon is presented in three parts by three presenters, and you will learn how we became a church, what our church family is doing locally to support others, and how you, me, we, as one Christian church, continue to reach out and spread the word of God and his love to others. The early Christian church has a religious history, but the main history of the church has been and always is about the people. The very early church, before it became known as the Christian church, was called the Way. The Way was a way of life people practiced, made possible because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a way of living based on John 14:6, in which John says, "I am the way." So, what was the way? To the early Christians, the way meant demonstrating kindness and love to all people around them. Witnessing all that love is what converted many of the heathens to the way. They could see that Christians loved one another. While during the upheaval and unrest of the times, that was surprising enough, but they saw their love was outgoing and included all people, including the heathens. The way became a sect, and then the sect became the Christian church. According to Rodney Stark in his book, The Rise of Christianity, Christianity served as a revitalization movement that arose in response to the misery, to the chaos, to the brutality of life in the urban Greco-Roman worlds. Christianity revitalized life in the Greco-Roman cities by providing new norms and new relationships that were able to cope with the many urgent problems of that time. To the cities filled with the homeless and with the poor, Christianity provided a new sense of offering charity as well as hope. To cities filled with orphans and with widows, Christianity has provided an expanded sense of family. To cities torn by violent ethnic strife, Christianity offered a new base of social solidarity. And to cities faced with epidemics, fires, and earthquakes, Christianity offered effective nursing services. What Christians brought to the people was not simply a new urban movement, but a new culture, or a new way, capable of making life more tolerable. So we can see the history of the Christian church has always been about people, emphasizing the saving love of God in Christ. The church is made up of those, you, me, who acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ. A membership in the church includes a belief in loving God, the result of which is a sense of ethical responsibility, concern for our neighbors, both in terms of interpersonal relationships and in terms of social and political responsibility. The church was and still is a human community of believers that share a heavenly call. Let's fast forward to the United Methodist Church today. When you think about it, there are over 11 million Methodists in the world today. And some of the membership has been and includes today members such as George W. Bush, Oral Roberts, Geronimo, Rosa Parks, Neil Armstrong, Harper Lee, George Lucas, Hillary Clinton, Stephen King, Nina Simone, and Beyonce, just part of our membership. Our membership seeks to improve global health while it ministers to the poor, it advocates for the justice, and responds to disasters much the same way as they did in early Christian times. Just like early Christians, United Methodists today seek to improve the quality of life while offering hope to all of God's people by following the biblical mandate of Matthew 25. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to the least of these, you did it for me. Therefore, we as Methodists try to treat every person we encounter as Christ, which means, just like the early Christians, all members of our congregation contribute to the redeeming and sustaining love of God. We offer hope, we offer kindness, we offer love, and we do it as one Christian family. I'll turn now to Barbara Becker for part two of the shared sermon, and Barbara will address how our local church contributes to the continuing sharing of God's love. Barbara.
Thank you, Joan. As Joan so ably expressed, Christianity grew in large part because the early Christians didn't just talk the talk. They didn't just preach the gospel, they lived it. They lived their faith through their daily actions and behavior. They extended love and compassion. They shared hope and joy to everyone they encountered. Believer or non-believer, rich or poor, male or female, slave or free, they extended it to everyone. I think we would probably call that what they practice today, radical hospitality. So how do we, Patchogue United Methodist Church in the year 2017, how do we extend the same hospitality and hope and the love of Christ to all we meet, to each other, to the community, to the world? Certainly one way is through engagement in ministries and outreach programs. And I think that George has put up on the screen a list of some of our programs. I do want to make a preemptive apology because I'm sure I forgot something, but it was not intentional. And we do have a lot of wonderful things going on here. So it's a pretty interesting and varied list. But one thing all these programs have in common is that each ministry or outreach project requires a lot of hard work. And it's not work that one or even two people can do all by themselves. It requires a number of people working together with cheerful hearts and a sense of commitment. And each person is contributing in their own way. Because you know, each person in a faith community has something to offer. Everyone here today, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, you have something to offer. Maybe it's a certain ability, maybe it's a talent, maybe it's a spiritual gift, maybe it's just a warm and kind heart that can contribute to God's work on earth. You see, sisters and brothers in Christ, Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not a situation where some people run the field and are active and everyone else sits on the sidelines cheering them on. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has something to give. Christianity is not passive. And it is not dependent upon dogma, doctrine, or ritual, though all those things have a role to play. But rather, Christianity is a living, breathing, active faith. God calls upon each of us to manifest our faith through our lives. We are all commissioned by Christ to be disciples. Bishop Robert Schnees wrote, if I pronounce his name correctly, wrote that when a church seeks to become a more fruitful church, they mature from saying they ought to saying I will, to stepping up and offering their own abilities and what they have to offer to the community of Christ. Everyone takes responsibility. Let me share my experience with just one of our wonderful ministries, the food pantry. Now, I know sometimes when you volunteer for something, you're like, What did I do? Why did I say I would do that? I never feel like that with the food pantry. I enjoy coming every Tuesday morning. Part of it, of course, is the companionship and the fellowship of the people who volunteer to help out every Tuesday. Every one of them has a cheerful and a willing heart. Part of it is, of course, is a profound, fundamental satisfaction in providing food and sustenance to those who need it. As Joan mentioned, Jesus said in Matthew 25, as much as you have done to the least of these. And actually, the third part is the interaction and the relationship with the people who come and use the food pantry, our neighbors, because that is what they are. They're our neighbors. They're not outsiders. They're not others. They're part of our extended church community. A Christian community should never be exclusive, closed, inward-facing, but always open and welcoming, always seeing the face of Christ in everyone we meet. I hope that you will think and pray as to how God wants you to be as a member of the body of Christ. And before I turn to Brother Ed to share his vision of what could be, I'd like to share this thought from the Reverend Robin Myers, that we should be a church where there is no acceptable alternate to hope, no substitute for joy, and no excuse not to offer the same unconditional love to others that has been so freely lavished on us. And now, Brother Ed.
Good morning. Now that we've heard how we Christians got started and what we are as a church have done, where do we go from here? We need to be hospitable, but how? I've been coming to this church since 1990. When I first met Brenda, she asked me to come to church with her. Well, let's go back. Before I met Brenda, I was baptized and confirmed a Lutheran. My children were baptized and confirmed Lutheran. Having moved a couple of times, I became lost for a while. Feeling an urge to go to church, I visited several. Some of the rules of membership I disagreed with, so I moved on. Some of the congregations were cold and unfriendly, so I moved on. Then I came here and was welcomed with open arms, smiles. It felt like a family, so I stayed. I don't think I was welcomed because people told people to welcome me. I think they did it from here. Everyone here loves this church for what it means to them. The fond memories we have here, the baptisms, the weddings, the children's Sunday school pageants, make us feel good. Do we tell people the good news that we are a family? Do we invite newcomers to come and share fellowship? I know the pastor does, and we should also. That is what Jesus wants us to do, to be hospitable, no matter who they are, how they are dressed, or what language they speak. After all, we are all God's children. We welcome people to the food pantry and Wesley and Thanksgiving dinners. Perhaps we should tell them they are welcome here on Sunday. I know my wife Brenda does. The lectionary for Laity Sunday, therefore go with hope through hospitality. Paraphrase from the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. We often think of hospitality as welcoming people to our home or church. But Jesus said in the Great Commission, go, not come. So how can we go and be hospitable? What about things that we've done in the past? Taking communion to the homebound or people in hospitals or nursing homes. It only takes a short time, once a month. All you need is two people to bring communion to a home or hospital. As Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 20, for whom, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. We could revive the Stephen ministry. To become a Stephen minister, there is training provided by Stephen ministers. In speaking to a Stephen minister, he explained that you go out individually and listen to people who need to talk about their problems. I'm not sure we can solve their problems, but sometimes just talking seems to help. We could visit and provide meals for the newly bereaved or someone home after hospitalization. We've done this recently when Yong Chong made up a list for people to bring cooked meals to Lola Schwartz. We know how to do this, and I'm sure it's appreciated and it shows our love. Prayer ministry or Bible study. In the past, women have knitted prayer shawls for people in need of prayer. This need is not always food, money, or healing, but spiritual need. And God hears all our prayers as promised by Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, I truly tell you, if two agree on earth about anything you ask, and it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. To grow as a Christian, we need to study. In the past, we've had several Bible studies. Some were quite intense. Maybe not for everybody, but there are all kinds of Bible studies to help us grow. And as Joan said, to show us the way. Several of you have taken the walk to Emmaus. For those that have not, it is a three-day spiritual retreat with very little walking, where they show you God's love so that you can be his hands, feet, and body of Christ. In closing, just remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 20. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.